Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Sunday Morning Breakfast, Sunday Morning Inspiration Call. And we are here. We consider it a blessing. We know that God has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us that are here. So we want to take this time to really just open up our hearts and open up our minds as we begin to go forward and discuss from problems to purpose. So at this time, we're going to go ahead and bring in our leader, Mr. Telly's Carr. Good morning, Mr. Carr.
Good morning, Mr. Tony.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing wonderful, and yourself?
I'm doing wonderful as well. Thank you.
Good deal. So let us go ahead and open up in prayer, Ms. Latanya, and then we'll get started with the call.
Our Father and our God, we come before you at this hour to say thank you, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Father, for waking us up on this morning, dear God, for allowing us to get rest on last night so that we can get up and be refreshed and renewed, dear God. We pray that whatever it is at this time that may be distracting us, dear God, that you will just help us to put it aside so that we can be focused, so that we can receive from you in the way that you would have us to do so, dear God. We pray for everyone that's assembled here, even those that could not be here, dear God. We ask that you will just continue to extend your grace and your mercy upon us, dear God. Help us to continue to go forward in life in the way that you called us to do as Christians, dear God, to submit our life to you. We thank you for this ministry, and we thank you for our leader. As we go forward, we ask that you will just continue to strengthen him, continue to lead us all in the path of righteousness. We pray and ask all these things in the precious name of your darling son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. All right. So we're talking about from problems to purpose. Okay. Now, before I get started, Ms. Latanya, I'm going to let you go ahead and give me about 3 minutes of this topic, please.
Yes, sir. So from problems to purpose, we've been talking about this, and one of the things that I think we have to realize is even when we say from problems to purpose, we have to know that when we're not in line with God, when we're not submitted to him, we're not obedient to him, a lot of times the problems that we encounter are self-inflicted. So that's the number one thing. A lot of times we ask the question, why we question God, and we put ourselves in positions where things come up against us, and it's because of our own doing. So whatever difficulty, whatever trial, tribulation it is that we're going through, we have to stop and evaluate and ask ourselves, how did I get here? And if we can openly and honestly say that, okay, this was because of something that I did, then we have to also repent, you know, allow ourselves to be used by God. So seek God wholeheartedly. And the Bible tells us that in Psalm 119, 71 and 72, it says, my suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees. Your instructions are more valuable to me than millions in gold and silver. So, yes, we are going to encounter problems, and we're also going to encounter opportunities where we are allowed to solve those problems, but it has to be with the help and the strength of God. So another thing we have to remember is that the problems we do encounter can either defeat us or develop us. So it depends on how we respond to them. And unfortunately, a lot of us fail to see exactly how God wants to use the problems in our lives for our good. So a lot of times we react in a foolish manner, and we actually look at the problems as being, you know, a punishment from God, or, you know, why am I always having to go through something of this nature? And we have a negative mindset. So I've learned that, you know, it's a couple of ways that God wants to use the problems in our life, and he wants to use it for our good, for a greater purpose, in other words. So he can use those problems to, one, direct us. A lot of times we won't move, we won't see God unless our backs are up against the wall, unless we are put in situations that cause us and inspire us to really change the direction that we're going in. He also uses those problems to correct us. So, again, we have to be in a place where we are able to receive from God, where we're operating in obedience, because if we're not, a lot of times we miss the purpose. We miss the message that is to come from that. So much like any of us that has children, or even if you've been around a child and you tell a child not to do something, but they do it, again, that becomes a problem, but oftentimes that's the way that that child is going to learn. So same thing with us as children of God. And another thing, God uses our problems to perfect us. So when we respond accordingly, when we operate in obedience, those problems can become, is what I learned, character builders. So it builds our character. And this is something else that we have to know, is that God is far more interested in building our character than allowing us to remain comfortable in our situation. So, and it's important to have that relationship with God in order for that to be manifested in our lives. So those are just a few points that I had. And again, that scripture was Psalm chapter 119, verses 71 and 72, and it reads, "My suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees. Your instructions are more valuable to me than millions in gold and silver." And I hope you ate well.
Okay. So from problems to purpose. Say from problems to purpose, depending on perspective.
Yeah.
What we view as problems, God doesn't. Let's get something clear. Okay. It's very, very, very important, imperative for us to understand. You know, remember the Bible says, our thoughts are not his thoughts, our ways are not his ways. See, the problem is we don't allow God to use us in every single way, every single moment of our life. We got to be very careful, people. I want to break this down slowly, from problems to purpose. When we start to say our problems build our character, Latonya,
yes,
I absolutely disagree with that. I do. It's almost like somebody saying the streets raise me. Wow. Well, I'll be.
Okay.
When you say your problems build your character, but what does God fit in? You think that God did everything in your life to create a problem to build you or mold you? A lot of times we step into, see, y'all got to understand this now. Some people view us not having a job as a problem. Other people view not having a job as purpose. When you walk by faith and count it all joy, what's the problem?
Mm-hmm.
If you know your steps are ordered by God, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God, what's the problem? That means I'm walking in my purpose. If the door is closed, it's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
See, a problem is when you don't get what you want. My God. Let me help somebody out this morning. The problem is when you don't get what you want. The purpose is when you walk through your storm and give God what he wants. See, the problem with that is, are we walking in God's purpose enough to understand there's no problem? Remember, let me remind us right quick, y'all, this morning, so we can wake up a little bit. Remember, the Bible says, you know, the promises of God, the promises of God, the promises of God are yea and amen.
Amen.
Or yes and amen. God doesn't say no. Now, somebody say, hold on. God do say no. No, it's not a no. It's always a yes. Even when he says, you know, when you think he's saying no, it's a yes. Because, see,
mm-hmm.
When Jesus said, Father, will you pass this bitter cup, he don't have to say no to him. The yes is get on that cross. I mean, I'm trying to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
See, when you focus on purpose, there is no problems. I don't have to say no. I'm telling you too many yeses and where to go. So when I tell you where to go, I don't have you tell you where not to go. If I tell you what to do, I don't have to tell you what not to do. If I, man, y'all got to hear this, God. See, the negative mind wants to know what, like, what I can't do. The positive mind wants to tell me what to do. See, the purposed mind says, hey, this is my credential. Hmm? The problemed mind says, well, can you tell me your flaws? My God.
Yes, sir.
We want to know people's flaws before we, if I, listen, the godly mind says, tell me your purpose. But the mind of the world, the mind that's sliding on to hell, the mind that is full of carnality says, what's the problem? Tell me your flaws. Do you understand that? If you're getting to know somebody and they're saying, hey, what flaws do you have? Because we all have them. You better catch the next horse and run.
Mm-hmm.
Why must we focus on the negative? Everybody has some things that may not be right, but here's the thing. The purpose behind it, remember, love covers a multitude of sin. When you are so purposeful, let me say it again. When you are so purposeful, like purposeful with one L, but it is purposeful,
mm-hmm.
Fooled, F-U-L-L-E. When you are full of purpose, how can you focus on flaws? When you just try to, oh my God, when you're just trying to protect life.
Amen.
Now, the negative mind was saying nothing wrong with that. But the positive mind said, I'm too busy thinking positive thoughts to be focused on flaws. If I have them, God will correct them, but I'm walking in my purpose too much to be talking about what I can't do.
Amen.
My God. But see, the problem is that flesh, that negative flesh, wants to keep us in our quote-unquote character building problem area. We try and problem solve. See, that's the problem. We try and walk through life problem solving. See, life starts to teach us. But life doesn't teach the Christian. Y'all don't hit me. Y'all better hit me good. Life does not teach the Christian. I'll say it again and say it slow. Life does not teach the Christian. Anybody on this phone willing to bet money? And I'm not a bet man. I'm just playing with y'all when I say this. But we're just using this for exercise. Anybody want to bet money that life taught Jesus? Come on. Or, see, the problem is, see, when life teaches you, you try and problem solve. So the next time you have the exact same experience, you'll say, I know what to do. Well, if life teaches us, that means Jesus, that means God in heaven should have destroyed us because he know what human man, mankind, and the world, humanity is all about. They did turn it back on him years ago with Noah.
Yes,
the same flesh, the same woman and man. Uh-oh. Now we'll say, but that ain't me. Okay, so if that ain't you, how can life teach you? Because every experience is going to be different. Life never taught Jesus. Jesus taught life. My God.
Amen.
My God. Now, where did you get that from? Come on. Come to the table and come clean. Because, see, now we let the world start to teach us, and we say we Christian because life teaches me valuable lessons. Life never taught Jesus. Jesus came prepared, and he, boy. He was the light of the world. He was the salt of the earth. Do you not understand that you're contradicting yourself when you say, I'm the light of the world and I'm the salt of the earth, but yet you're telling the world that, you know, I learned from my life experience? If you salt and you light, that means I bring light to a dark place. That means I bring flavor and sustainability to a place that's dull. My God.
Amen.
Oh, my God. Man, boy. See, now we go from problem to purpose. See, we once was walking in problems because we was walking in flesh. But when you start walking in faith, you start walking in purpose. It sound good. Where did we get that from? Life teaches me many experiences. And some people still won't believe it. So be it. I'm just telling you facts. I'm telling you truth. Life never taught Jesus nothing. Jesus already knew before he was born. My God. Now, if we want to walk in wisdom, because we always say, I pray for discernment. If you pray for discernment, why life got to teach you? Oh, my. I love this topic. Let me say it again, because I want to catch the smart ones. We smart, right? Good.
If you pray for discernment, do you not understand that discernment is God's wisdom poured upon you, thrust upon you, poured in you, revealed before you? Is revelation. If you walk in discernment, why must life teach you? You very well may never go through certain experiences. That means you will be dumbed down. But that's not the case, because discernment says I don't have to go through it to know it. My God. Hence, if life taught us, Jesus shouldn't say nothing about marriage, because he never was married. Well, Mr. Carter was God. No, he was also flesh. That was God so much that he became sin that he didn't even commit. Now we're going to get back to the topic. Good. From problems to purpose. So if life teaches us, we're in trouble. That means we're not even going to be one-eighth, one-tenth of the way complete, because you will not experience everything that you think you should.
Yes, indeed.
Hmm? Huh? If life teaches us lessons, well, then racism should ever, forever fail. It should forever be there. It should forever be adored. What you saying? You like, no, you said if life teaches you, that means white people never being black, so they should never understand. But I thought if God teaches us, now we understand empathy one amongst the other. We understand the golden rules that say do unto others as you would have them do unto you. In other words, I don't have to be you to have empathy towards you. My God.
Amen.
See the problem? See, problems arise when we try and operate and figure it out on our own. That's the problem. Purpose starts to grow when problems start to dissipate. In other words, your purpose starts to grow as soon as you let flesh go. As long as we continue to hold on in pride, that's all I got is my pride. That's all I got. If pride is all you got, well, where does God fit in?
Yes, sir. My Lord.
Where does he fit in? See, you start to walk in your purpose when you start to remove your pride.
Mm-hmm.
You start to walk in purpose. See, you can't walk in purpose and problems at the same time, much like you can't operate in fear and faith. You start to walk in purpose when problems start to look good. In other words, God, I thank you for the thorn. I'm sorry for misinterpreting and calling the problem, but I thank you for that obstacle. Because of the obstacle, I can do something called exercise. Y'all know we don't like to exercise, many of us, right? Okay. Because, see, exercise causes us to sweat out our hairdo, you know, that get it girl we just got, the little ponytail that we just attached. See, it causes us to sweat it out. Exercise causes us to work. See, we want to operate in faith that says, God, work. God, you do it. But when you are a true Christian, you actually see that problem no longer. You see purpose. In other words, I see exercise. In other words, I see, God, you put something before me. I don't mind putting a little oomph in it. I don't mind getting up and walking through purpose. Because, see, what purpose does is it more so than it fulfills me, it fulfills heaven, while also embracing and bringing forth other Christians with it. Purpose will cause you to put others along with you. Purpose has anointing with it. And anointing causes others to see glory. It causes others to see light. It causes others to taste the salt. And it restores them. When you're walking in your purpose, boy, people start to follow God. In other words, they say, my goodness, I saw a problem. They saw a purpose. What is really going on?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You start to exercise your faith. See, the problem is we can't walk in purpose until we understand what God has given us to walk through it. In other words, no faith. Watch this. No faith. Watch this. No faith. Wanting to be exercised, you will never find your purpose. Mr. Carr, you got to be negative. I'm not negative. If you do not want to exercise your faith, how can you walk in purpose? The reason why a lot of people don't know their purpose is because they don't know their faith.
Yes, sir.
To whom much is given, much is required. Little faith, little purpose.
Yes, indeed.
Now, that's a problem. Because if you have a little faith,
yes,
problems will overtake you. If you have little faith, you will see not having a man as a problem. If you have little faith, you will see not having a woman as a problem. If you have little faith, no. But if you got big faith, you don't see it as a problem. You see it as purpose.
Yes, indeed.
Let me step a little further now. Let me step a little further. Okay? When you have little faith, you stop. Oh, my goodness. Let me say this right. When you have little faith, things become a problem around you. Well, the problem is I gave my love to the wrong person.
Yes, sir.
Let me say it again. Lord, I'm about to tell y'all something. What is that? I hope y'all up. If you have little faith, your problems become enlarged. You start to blame everything else around you. Well, my only problem is I'm too forgiving. Come on now. How many people say that? Come on. Don't drop your phone. Don't drop that phone. Put this thing on speaker. Somebody else in that room need to hear that.
Yes,
huh? He's messing with me this morning. No, he's not. I don't play with the devil. Well, ain't nothing wrong with saying that. The Bible said let it be done on earth as it's done in heaven. You think you're going to talk like that in heaven? Okay, cool. Because we already know that rule, right? When you point a finger, you got three pointing back at you and one pointing at heaven. See, when you blame people, you're blaming God, too, because that's his creation. I'm trying to tell you something.
Yes,
go ahead and point that finger. You got one pointing at them, three pointing at you, and one pointing at heaven. Unless you got two fingers, a pointing finger and a thumb, you still got three pointing back at you, huh? All right, cool.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And then one point at God. Well, I touched my thumb, Mr. Carl. Did y'all see this? So we'll start to say, my problem is I love too hard. My problem is I gave them, my problem is I forgive too much. How can you forgive too much? My problem is I give the wrong people my love. Well, if that be the case, I'm glad you brought that up. Let me walk in purpose right quick with you. Let me take you from that problem to that purpose. The same person you said you shouldn't have gave your love to, does God love them? Answer that for me, please.
Yes, sir.
Now, if God loves them, how is it a problem? Now, please don't tell me he don't understand. Please don't say that. The problem is we don't operate in faith to know that there's different types of love. You got agape. You got philia. You have eros. Come on now. Ooh, y'all remember that? You have storge. But we want to always operate in eros, erotic, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, and wife. If I don't see it as a potential mate for me, myself, and I, it ain't good. See, I told you. We view things as a problem when our flesh don't get its way. So in other words, when pride don't get its way, we view it as a problem. But I thought the Bible clearly told us to crucify ourselves daily. I thought that the Bible clearly says to lean not to your own. I thought that the Bible clearly says to remove all pride, that love is not proud. I thought that's what the Bible said. As a matter of fact, I know. See, God is trying to help us view things differently. Perspective. In other words, he don't want us to view it not working as a problem. He wants us to view it as not working as a purpose. In other words, it didn't work for the flesh, but it worked for God. Because the last person that you encountered where the relationship didn't work, don't you know that God allowed y'all to cross paths for a reason? Now, who added salt and who added light? Did you add salt or did you add darkness? Did you add, oh my God. Come on, y'all.
Yes, sir.
You thought that God let you cross paths with that person to find your husband or your wife. But perhaps if you was pursuing peace with God and walking in purpose, it was never to find your husband or your wife. Perhaps it was to help them find God. But how can they find God if you don't show them God through you? Oh.
Amen.
Oh. All righty now. All righty now, huh? See, when we walk into our purpose, we stop looking at the problems that the flesh want. It's a problem because the flesh want it and the flesh crying, and I can't get it. Will you get off your knees, baby?
Yeah.
Remember the Bible says when you're a child, you speak as a child. See, children still talk about they have problems, but now that you're adults, you put away those childish things. See, adults don't say they have problems. They say they have purpose. In other words, just because it didn't go the way I wanted it to, it's all about God's plans, not mine. That's why he laughs at my problems, because my problems was never a part of his purpose. That's why he laughs. Come on, what Mr. DJ said all the time? If you ever want to see God laugh, tell him your plan.
Yes, sir.
That's why he laughs. God, this ain't funny. Oh, it's very funny. And who are you to tell God it ain't funny? It's very funny because, see, now, after you done fell down enough, you should come to the conclusion that the problem is me, not them. A righteous man will fall several times and get up. After you done fell enough, shouldn't you come to the conclusion that it's me, not them? Unless pride keeping us from saying, it's not me. Ain't that something, y'all?
Yes, it is.
From problems to purpose. Let's get to the scripture right quick. I just wanted to inspire you this morning. Not too much. Let me see what we got right quick, Miss Latonya. We're about to get ready to get off the phone, y'all. We have 4 more minutes. John 16:33. The Bible says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I love this scripture.
Amen.
Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, my God. Now, I'm going to take these two and do something with them, y'all. Can I throw one more in there? Okay, good. Matthew 10:16. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpent and innocent as doves. God said this. Hey, check this out. I'm sending y'all out. Yeah, you, the one that's listening on the phone. I'm sending you out. I'm sending you out as sheep. Now, you do know that sheep are followers. Bam, bam. Sheep follow.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Seriously, they really do follow. So I'm sending you out as sheep. Now, I'm sending you out in the midst of wolves. But I want you to be as wise as a serpent. I want you to be as wise as Satan. But I want you to be as innocent and as humble as a dove. See, I need you to see intellect through him because he moves strategically. But, see, he moves for his own purpose. But I want you to be as innocent as a dove. If you notice, when God sent the raven out on a boat in Noah's Ark, to see, they didn't know if it was still flooded or not. He sent the raven out. The raven ain't never come back. He sent the dove out. The dove came back with a branch. If the branch was in the dove's mouth, that means that the water was so low that the trees that had fallen, he can pick from it. See, you got to understand. See, doves come back to God. They understand purpose. The purpose of the dove was to come back. The raven, much like the serpent, is wise but wasn't humble. The raven was use. Lord, y'all got to hear me. See, everything that God does is about purpose, not a problem. Some viewed it as a problem, the flood. Noah viewed it as a purpose. The Noah's ark treatment is the epitome of heaven. All of them that was on the face of the earth had perished, and only Noah, his family, and some animals survived. Because they was obedient. They walked in God's purpose. So they didn't view the flood as a problem. You view things as a problem when you don't have a boat, when you don't have an ark, when you don't have safety when it comes. Woo!
Amen.
So the last time your heart was broken, it was a problem because you never built your ark. When God told you to build your ark, you never built it. The ark is called being obedient to God. It ain't a problem when you have a good security system. You can leave your house and go on vacation for a week or two. Because you have ADT, Brinks. You good. You have neighbors. You have family that comes by. See, you good. But it is a problem when you don't. So
yes,
when we say we got problems, you know what that's indicating? You know the indicator of a problem? Is that somebody wasn't obedient to God. Because, see, some will view your situation as a problem. You view it as purpose. So it don't matter how they view them. It's what God tells you to do.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Huh? Y'all know that? Can I show
y'all?
Yes, sir. Because Tanya's in the dental field. Y'all know people don't like going to the dentist. I know I said I was about to get the father phone. I'm about to. Watch the problem and the purpose. When you numb their mouth up, it's no longer a problem. You get to get to the purpose.
Amen.
But if you don't numb your mouth up and you're trying to get a root canal, that's a problem. Here's a problem.
Amen.
Huh? Here's a problem. We don't allow faith to numb our flesh. When your faith numbs your flesh, that means I'm so in tune with God, I don't even feel the pain of the world. My God. Now, God, you can do your work. You can work on me, God. You can work on me, God, because I have been numbed up by my faith. In other words, my head is so high, Peter, I don't care that I walk on water. Peter, see, when your eyes are up on God, you stop complaining about things. Why do you think the Bible says do things without murmuring and complaining? See, what happens is you become numb to problems. Now you can fulfill your purpose. Now God can work on you, Adam. He can put you to sleep, Adam, because of your faith, Adam. And he can pull from you, from your rib, Eve, Adam. The problem is we don't allow faith to numb us. That's the problem.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
So we go and sit in that chair and say, God, work on me, use me, but you don't have faith in your system. Now you're about to feel everything that's going on.
My Lord. Yes, sir.
See, the problem is we don't walk into every day with faith. If you walked into every day with faith, my God, you good to go. Because, see, people use their faith in the world as money. So money suffocates their pain only for a certain period of time. You see? See, they're numb to the foolishness. Because look at my money. See, they throw their money around up until it runs out and it no longer satisfies them. Now, you would never throw your faith around because the faith is to be actually used from you to you to you to you. In other words, it's to be dispersed. It's to serve others with. Hello? Y'all with me?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all got it? Matthew 10, y'all hear me? Matthew 10 and 16. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep. So God is sending you out as sheep, followers of him, in the midst of wolves in the world. And not just people, things. Remember, it's not people in the first place. It's spirits. Remember, the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So see, when you know your purpose, people are not the problem. Whoa, my God. When you know your purpose, you will understand that people are not the problem. So, see, we have misguided targets because we talk about our baby daddy, our baby mama. We talk about the boss over there who's racist. We talk about the people in the street that's killing one another. It's not them. We wrestle not, if you really believe that scripture, if you really believe the scripture and believe God, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. See, we believe it when it applies to us because we say, God, know my heart. That means we know God ain't wrestling against our flesh, it's against our spirit. See, the thing about it, when we start walking in purpose, we stop looking at people as a problem, and we know who is the problem. And I'm going to attack him on my playing field, which is the faith. See, I'm not going to his field. Although I live in the world is not his. He's the prince of this earth, but he's not the creator of the world. God created both heaven and earth. So I'm going back to the originator. If he's the one who created it, he's the one who has the formula for it. So it's never a problem for his creation. He created it. Don't you know he know how to break it down? Let me say it again. He created it. Who would better be able to break it down?
Yes, sir.
Ain't that something?
Amen. Yes,
Matthew 16, Romans 8 and 28, I said, and we know that for those who love the Lord, all things work together for the good, for those who are called according to his purpose. No longer a problem, it's purpose. Now, do understand, when you love God, that means you obey God. So let me translate. And we know that for those who obey God, all things work together for your good, because you are called according to his purpose. You are called, meaning called, meaning called, meaning you answer. This is when you obey God, not love is an emotional love. No. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Yeah. See, some people view paying tithes. I'm out of the challenge. Get off the phone. From problems. Some people view paying tithes as a problem. Other people view paying tithes as a purpose. In other words, we both can be broke and don't have it. But here's the thing. It's a purpose for one, and it's a problem for others. The problem, people say, well, God know my heart. Look what they're doing. They're defending. They're being an attorney for their flesh. They're being an attorney for what they didn't do. The purposeful people says, hold on, regardless of what I know I have to pay over here, that was my fault. I shouldn't have cured those other bills. God said, take care of him first. Just like I want somebody to take care of their kids first, women might say, I want him to take care of his kids. Men may say, I want her to take care of her kids. See, the child come first, well, God come before the child. Take care of God first. He said the first ten. How can you have a relationship with somebody when you're not fulfilling the things that they want from you? Oh, Lord, come on.
Yes, sir.
Because we always say, I know my worth. You don't think God know his worth?
Yes, he does.
Come on. You don't think God know his worth? And he requires the first ten. Well, that ain't the only thing that get you into heaven. It's not the only thing. But if it's a part of the relationship, why do you have a problem?
Yeah, sir.
Typically, we got the same type of relationship we have with God. The same relationship we have with God typically is the same relationship we have on earth. You see why people have a problem with understanding your worth? Do you understand God's? And if you did, why we can't give them the 10, to see the first 10%? See, the problem is, flesh getting in the way. The purpose is, faith says, rise up. I'm about to serve God in my giving. Because he said, I don't have to know what the pastor doing with it. I really don't. It don't matter. I'm being obedient to God. I'm going to do it because I see purpose. And God, I allow you to show me to show my purpose. Because when I didn't have, I still gave. When I do have, I still give. See, that's purpose. That's purpose. But problem says, how does it benefit me? And if it don't benefit me, it's a problem.
Yes, yeah, sir.
John 16 and 33, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. You have problems. But take heart, I have overcome the world. In other words, when you walk in God, you walk in purpose. But when you walk in the world, when you start to view things the way the world views them, you walk in problems. But the Bible says, take heart, be conscious, understand that I have overcome the world, meaning I have overcome problems. With my purpose. Hello. Let's go ahead and pray.
Amen. Our Father and our God, we come before you once again on this morning to say thank you, dear Lord. We thank you, Father, for just allowing us to come here this morning and dwell in your midst. Dear God, we thank you for the message that you have provided to each and every one of us, dear God. We ask that as we go forward, you will just help us to focus on the purpose and the plan that you have for our life, dear God. And as we focus on it, to embrace it and also to live according to the way that you will want us to live, dear God. We ask that you will just help us each and every day to lay aside every weight, every problem that we encounter, dear God, because we know that it goes far beyond what our natural eyes can see, dear God. So we thank you for our faith. We ask that you will just continue to help us to be strengthened in it, dear God. We thank you for this platform. We thank you for this ministry, dear God, and we thank you for our leader. We ask that you will continue to strengthen him as he goes forward to do the work that you've called him to do. We pray and ask all these things in the precious name of your darling son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Y'all have a great day. Remember this evening at 8 p.m., we're on the line again this evening for our fellowship. Okay, we have a good time. All right? Y'all have a great day.
Bye-bye.